Right now, it's time for Armed American Radio's Daily Defense with Mark Walters.
No food or drink in the studio. 1 second, please. Welcome to the show. How the heck are you? Hey, Shanta, was that intro a little better? How you doing down there in Dallas, Tejas? You doing all right?
You're right on the money today a little bit.
Well, let me answer question number one. Hey, Mark, what gun are you carrying today? I get that email every day. Today I'm carrying what I will probably carry all weekend, a Glock 17 and a crossbreed OWB. For those of you who don't know what that is, that's an outside the waistband. In my case, my strong hand is right side, so I'm right-handed. On my right hip, at about 3 to 3:30 o'clock position, that Glock 17 in a crossbreed drop slide. Now, I got to tell you, that holster, I've got a box of holsters. Do you have a holster drawer? I have a huge holster drawer. And if you've been carrying a gun for a long time, you've got a holster drawer. Sean, you probably have a holster drawer. Mine's not a drawer anymore because I would have to buy new furniture because of more drawers. There's just not enough drawers for my holster count. So I have them in some what look like furniture boxes, look like footrests. You know, you lift the lid off, boom, there's all enough. They smell great because there's lots of leather in there, right? And some Kydex. But I've been keeping my eye on this drop slide. You've heard me talk about it on the program before. The reason I'm telling you this is Rob Pincus, had put a post out on social media, as he is wont to do just about every day, about what he's going to be carrying and what methods he is using to carry of recent. And that's because, like most men, as you get up over 40 years old, you start to put that gun on your hip, and it can start to put pressure on your lower back, particularly if you're carrying the gun behind the center of the waist at 3 o'clock. If you're moving that gun back, it can put some pressure on your lower back. Now, it does for me. This drop slide holster from Crossbreed brings the weight of the gun down about a half an inch. And if you can just kind of picture a holster that comes up about a little bit above the belt on the belt loop and then drops down a little bit and then pops back up on the other belt loop, that little dip of about a half an inch, which brings the actual ride where the holster is about even with the top of the belt, I'm noticing is changing some of that lower back pain that I experience while carrying a gun, particularly a larger handgun, all day long. I have had this gun on my hip all day since I got up this morning at about 7:30 a.m. Eastern Time. This gun has not left my hip. I've been to downtown Atlanta and back, had to pick up my press credentials and media credentials for the NRA gig this weekend, and I'm beginning to notice after that, I was just thinking about that, and I wanted to let you know that I think that little drop in there is making a difference. So if you have a problem with that, shoot me an email, let me know. But the holster I'm using, and I get the question all the time, what are you carrying in, what gun, what holster? I'm liking this rig. Now, I have the same drop slide holster for my SIG P320, also a full-size 9mm, a heavier gun than the Glock 17, a different configuration which requires the gun to be kind of canted outward a little bit when reholstered, where the Glock just drop slides right in. The SIG P320, I need to kind of angle it out a little bit. It requires some getting used to. I wouldn't take that to a training class, although it's a great rig with the drop slide outside the waistband and the P320, great reliable gun, but it's going to require some work on my end of getting used to holstering that gun. So I would need to do some training work with that, with an unloaded firearm, just to get used to holstering and unholstering that firearm before I took it to a training where I was going to do that 500 to 1,000 times over a course of a 1 or 2 day period, shooting on a range, on a live fire range. But having said that, the P320 I've noticed with the SIG, with the drop slide with the P320, is also extremely comfortable, and I'm noticing that it's not hurting my back. So I get these questions from you a lot. Hey, Mark, I'm getting older. Or, hey, Mark, I'm a little bit better fed than I was a few years ago. Or, hey, Mark, I'm having trouble getting away that tire, you know, around my waist a little bit, and it's changing my carry method somewhat. What do you recommend? And that's what I'm finding, and it is working for me. So I'm going to be carrying that gun. I will probably have the 17 with me. I may have the P320. Either way, both of those full-size guns in a crossbreed outside the waistband holster this weekend while attending the NRA convention. Now, keep in mind, this is a great test. Why? I'll be on my feet all day. I'll be wearing some Fry boots all day. Not sneakers, not loafers, but boots. And I will be in them for hours and hours. That tends to make a difference when you're carrying that firearm, whether or not that's going to affect the lower back and any of the back pain. And some of you experience that, I know, because I've seen some emails just over the last few days. So that's the talk radio host long-winded answer to, hey, Mark, what are you carrying today? Glock 17 in a crossbreed outside the waistband drop slide holster. Incredibly comfortable at about the 330 position on my hip. Just a little bit forward of the 4 o'clock. And that works for me with that 15-degree FBI 15-degree forward cant for my grip. That holster works great. You might want to give it a shot. I'll be at the crossbreed holster booth tomorrow morning, 9:30, Friday a.m., 9:30 Eastern time, as they unveil their new product line, or a new product line. I can't give you any more information than that because I don't have it. But Rob Pincus and I will be at the crossbreed holster booth, 9:30 a.m. Eastern time, shortly after the doors of the NRA convention annual meetings open in Atlanta, Georgia, at the Georgia World Congress Center on Friday morning. That's tomorrow. Depending on when you're listening to the show, it might be today if you're catching the show on a delayed broadcast. Nonetheless, if you want to meet me, I'll be there. Then at 1 p.m. at the Viridian Green Laser Booth, I'll be there with John Sheehan on the stage, just the facts stage. On Saturday, 3 p.m., right back to the Viridian stage, just the facts stage. And in between those two appearances and the crossbreed booth tomorrow, I will be at the Second Amendment Foundation booth, and I will be at the crossbreed holster booth back and forth. See, I can't be at the USCCA booth because there is no USCCA booth where I would normally call a home stand with all my great peeps from Wisconsin who will now be roaming around the floor like a bunch of wild animals taking in everything they can because the National Rifle Association said, no, 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 you can't have a booth. Here's your check back. No worries, no problem. All of us will be on the floor. Come up and say hello. Tim Schmidt will be walking the floor if you want to come over and say hello to Tim. I'll give you some more information by the end of the program as to where he'll be and what time. I know he's going to be at a booth. John Adine, you're in the studio with me today. I don't remember what it is, do you? Barrel and...
Yes, it was a barrel and something or other.
Okay, well, Barrel and Something or Other isn't cutting the mustard. He's going to be at the Barrel and Something or Other booth tomorrow at some time. We will find out. Don't worry
about
it.
I'll look it up.
I'm just kidding with you. Don't have to put you on the spot. But we will find out where Tim will be. I found that out earlier today. If you want to meet Tim Schmidt and say hello to him, he will be making an appearance as well. Okay? So that's what I'm carrying today. Point, don't shoot. Oklahoma bill allows pointing of guns to deter violent crime. Before I get into that, let me introduce... I'm going to call him my partner in crime today, Dr. John Adine, Doctors for Responsible Gun Ownership, sits back in the Armed American Radio Daily Defense Studios with me, just outside Hotlanta, Georgia, and a stone's throw away from AAR Ranch. John, how are you?
I'm doing great. I enjoyed the hospitality at the AAR Ranch last night. We had nice food and a few adult beverages and even a little cigar.
Wasn't that great?
It was a great night.
It was a lot of fun. We got to meet a lot of very cool people. You know, John, you went with me this morning over to the Georgia World Congress Center. We went in early, a day in advance, to get our credentials before it opens up, and we had the ability to walk through the grounds. It's an impressive facility. Acres and acres and acres and acres of displays, minus one, minus two. But actually six, because the USCCA had six booths that are no longer there. Six booths, by the way. What were your thoughts when you went in the Congress Center and saw the layout before it opens tomorrow to a massive crowd? What do you think?
Yeah, I think it's gonna be interesting to see 80,000 people walking around in that. It's going to be crowded.
Do you think there's going to be 80,000 people this year because of the Trump effect? Now, Obama was the greatest gun salesman in American history. People are feeling a little bit less threatened with Donald Trump. Is that going to change the draw at the NRA convention, do you think, as far as the size of the crowd?
I don't think so. In fact, the fact that Trump is going to be there may be a draw. People may want to go just to see Donald Trump.
That's a good point. I think anybody that had their travel arrangements may have already had those arrangements made in advance of finding out Trump was even going to be there. However, it may be a bigger draw for those who are within driving distance of the major hub of Atlanta, of which many cities are.
Sure.
You know, you're talking all the way out from really drivable distance where somebody can make that that last-minute decision, hey, I'm going to go to the NRA this weekend. It's in Atlanta. You know, you're probably looking around New Orleans, out to the coastal Carolina area, back down into central Florida, and that big radius up into Tennessee, maybe into Kentucky, covering some of North Carolina. If you draw a big circle around Atlanta in that 500-mile radius, I think that's going to be a decent draw, people looking at about a six-hour drive.
Yeah.
So it will be interesting to see. When we come back from the break, John, there's an interesting piece out, Point Don't Shoot. Oklahoma bill allows pointing of guns to deter violent crime. I pointed a gun at individuals. You point a gun at somebody today, it can be considered aggravated assault and put you in prison. We're going to talk about this Oklahoma bill when we come back right after this.
Folks, by now you know I'm a proud member of the United States Concealed Carry Association. And you also know they love to give away guns to responsibly armed Americans just like you. Now, this is why last month the USCCA bought 10 of my listeners a brand new Kimber. Now, this month, they want you to pick any gun you want. So they're giving you 10 chances to win $1,500 to buy the gun of your dreams. Which gun is at the top of your bucket list? A brand new AR-15? A custom 1911? Think hard, because any gun you've been dreaming about could be yours, thanks to my friends over at the USCCA. Just visit defendthem.com to enter for free today, and there's absolutely no restrictions. You can pick up any gun, any brand, and any caliber you want. Your entry to win $1,500 for a brand new gun is quick, simple, and free. Don't miss out on your best chance to take home the gun of your dreams. Just go to defendthem.com right now to get your name on the entry list. That's defendthem.com.
If you had to use your firearm to protect your loved ones, would you know what to expect in the aftermath? Imagine being thrown into a cop car in front of your family. Could you have said something differently? I've had these fears, and the USCCA has alleviated them with the 6 things you didn't know would happen when the police arrive. A free guide covering 6 big mistakes that could land you behind bars. For this free guide, visit BeTheirProtector.com. That's BeTheirProtector.com.
The Second Amendment Foundation has grown into what many believe to be the most important gun rights organization in America. With hundreds of thousands of active members, it is the Second Amendment Foundation defending your rights in courtrooms across the nation. Winning these battles in local jurisdictions all the way to the Supreme Court requires tireless effort and help from you. Please help the Second Amendment Foundation defend your freedoms by joining or donating today at saf.org. Join us at saf.org. Thank you.
The USCCA Facebook page brings together nearly 2 million like-minded people, all of them interested in effective self-defense and the concealed carry lifestyle. Look for the official USCCA page on Facebook. Find the page, click the like button, and start learning all you can about becoming a responsibly armed American. And remember to share these great tips with all your other Facebook friends. The USCCA on Facebook, a great source for information on personal safety and so much more.
When seconds count, the police are minutes away, which means if your family's in danger, you'll become the first line of defense. Can you say with 100% confidence that you'll know what to do? What about the gun laws in your state? Do you know them? One wrong move, and you'll be the one handcuffed in the back of a squad car. Which is why 170,000 responsibly armed Americans rely on Concealed Carry Magazine for the latest on ever-changing gun laws and life-saving training drills. You'll get unbiased gun and gear reviews and read true stories from real people who carry every day. There's even a quarterly women's section with training and information designed specifically for the female shooter. This is important, which is why when you activate your subscription, you'll be entered to win 1 of 4 guns. Just go to 1of4guns.com. That's the number 1of4guns.com right now to start your subscription and claim your chance to win the gun of your dreams.
Hi, it's Mark, and I have a plea for help. Gun-hating billionaire Michael Bloomberg is up to his bag of tricks by funding studies designed to fool the American public into thinking your guns cause crime. As expected, the media plays right along. Unfortunately for him, John Lott and the Crime Prevention Research Center does the real research to measure the true impact of guns on crime. But we need your help to do it. Please donate today to help John and the CPRC get the truth out. Visit crimeresearch.org, crimeresearch.org to donate. Crimeresearch.org. Thank you.
Right now, it's time for Armed American Radio's Daily Defense with Mark Walters.
All right. Welcome back to the Armed American Radio Daily Defense Studios. Great to have you with us today. It's going to be an interesting weekend, an exciting weekend. We've got a lot to cover with you on the Big Giant Monster Show on Sunday coming up. Sean, I hear you back there. Go ahead.
Yeah, brother. Excuse me, Mark. I, you know, occasionally like to jump in. And you know, you were talking about how you carry...
Actually, I thought you would jump in sooner for some reason. I was just curious. I thought that.
All right, Sean Hannity. Anyway, you were talking about how you carry your Glock. And it made me think, you know, I've had the unfortunate issue with my finger, which is on my right hand, which is my dominant hand. So when right. You were talking about carrying on your right side, do you train with your weaker hand?
Sean, that's a great question. I was talking about strong side carry. Let me kind of break that down a tad bit.
Mm-hmm.
I said my strong side, which is my right side because I'm right-handed.
Mm-hmm.
Strong hand shooting. My strong side is my right hand because I'm right-handed.
Mm-hmm.
Weak hand shooting, referencing your non-dominant hand, is what you're referring to. And you're right about that.
Mm-hmm.
You've got that big old nasty goofy thing on your hand.
Yeah.
That precludes you from handling a firearm at all, Dr.
Yeah.
John. Correct?
Yeah, it's going to be very difficult to fire a firearm after having the kind of surgery he had on his hand.
Unless exactly. he moves that firearm to his left side,
mm-hmm.
right, which is his non-dominant hand. And I'm going to answer that question honestly for you, Sean. I don't practice with my weak hand near as much as I should,
mm-hmm.
probably less than 10% of the time. And that's just an honest answer for you,
mm-hmm.
flat out honest. And I should probably practice it, John, probably better than half the time. Frankly.
Yeah, probably. Well, you know, the likelihood of you needing to use your left hand is probably not huge, but it's something that when you need it, you really need it.
And the likelihood of airplanes flying into the World Trade Center is not huge.
Right, but it happened.
But it happened, and it can happen. And in a fight, as we heard from Mike Janich talking about knife fighting in an Into the Fray video earlier this week on this very program, we found, and Kevin Michalowski, managing editor of Concealed Carry Magazine, brings out a great point. So let me, and Sean, I'm glad you brought this up.
He says,
you must learn to fight with your other strong hand. Remember, you have two strong hands. And what Kevin means is, he's not speaking literally, he's speaking figuratively. What he means by that is you need to practice with that weak hand. And don't consider it a weak hand. Learn how to fight with both hands. That's very difficult to do. That's very challenging to do for me. I'm just crazy with my left hand. If I try to pick up a pen, I can't write a letter with my left hand. And I think what that does is, mentally, because I hadn't thought about that in a while, Sean, and you're right, and I talk about this for a living. I go through these videos with everybody. That's something you need to practice more often. John, are you... Do you practice with your weak hand at all?
Yes, I do.
Percentage-wise,
I said about 10%. Probably about 25% of my shooting I do with
still,
my weak
hand. Still weak. Still
yeah.
weak. Right?
Yeah. But, you know, the issue is having to need to use your left hand. You know, the issue, you know, we've seen, like in Force on Force and a lot of the training, people get shot in their dominant hand a lot because the person focuses on the threat.
Well,
threat being the
firearm. Stop right there. That your opponent will focus on that. I actually know someone who's been on the program before. In fact, I saw his X-ray this week in a gunfight many years ago. He is a chapter 7 in my first book, Lessons from Armed America, Savage Gunfight, where he got into a shootout with two other individuals, and it was his thumb that was hit on his dominant hand as the gun was firing because the opponent is focusing on that menacing gun in front of him. People tend to cognitively, and this is where Rob Pink is, we could get very complicated here, but intuitive shooting, your eyes, where your finger is pointing, what you're looking at close quarters in CQB or close quarters battle, it's not uncommon at all to see police officers shot in the hand or their opponents shot in the hand because that's where they're holding a weapon and that's where their mind and their brain are focusing. Is that correct?
Absolutely
description
correct.
Of that?
Yeah, absolutely correct. And, you know, a lot of people who do the force-on-force stuff wear gloves. In fact, I was at the Range Master Tactical Conference about a month ago, and they did a force-on-force, and I actually lent some gloves to one of the actors because he got shot in the hand a couple of times, and his hand was hurting. So I tossed
using
my gloves.
Airsoft?
No, they were using marking cartridges,
okay.
So it was even more of a hit.
Right.
And so, you know, I mean, I think that's a very common thing that you see in people who are engaged in that type of activity. You're going to focus on the threat, and that barrel looks like a giant basketball hoop that
you're trying to,
when it's pointed at you, and so you're focusing on that threat, and so when you're firing, often the other person will get hit in the hand, and so now you have a hand that may not be useful, and you need to be able to run the gun left-handed. And doing some things left-handed, not as bad.
And for some people, that might be right-handed, depending on whether or not their dominant hand, of course, is the left hand. Don't want to confuse anybody out there. But I guess the bottom line, Sean, to the answer of your question is yes, but not near enough. And, John, you too, 25%, I'm going to tell you, it's still not enough. And this is coming from somebody who says probably 10% of the time.
Yeah.
Okay, we both know, I think, that 25%, we should probably elevate that to 40 to 50% of the time. That we're plinking or doing whatever it is we're doing, whether we're outside or whether we're at target shooting at a range, whatever that may be. Now, I have access to outdoor shooting range, my own. And as a result of that, I can do things out there that I can't do in a public indoor shooting range. And that allows me the opportunity to do some things as I can move forward and advance on the target and so forth coming back. And that's what I'll do with my weekend. And, Sean, I got to tell you, it's difficult.
Oh, yeah, I know.
It's difficult. And for you to have to do that now, if you wanted to get out to the range and do that, I would highly recommend you take your gun out there now that you are incapacitated to a certain extent on your strong hand and go out there and see what you can do on your weak hand. Have somebody with you, of course, to help you because of the fact that I don't even think with your right hand, I don't think you can hike your draws up by your belt, can you?
Well, see, I'm lucky enough that I used to be left-handed, but due to the public school system, I became right-handed. But I can actually use my left hand pretty much as well as my right hand. On some things a little different, harder, but I'm pretty good with both.
I'd get out there and practice if that's the case. How long are you going to be holed up there on your dominant hand?
Oh, at least another 3 weeks, easy.
You ought to get out. Would you recommend you get out there, John?
Absolutely. Get a left-handed holster and do some dry draws without any ammunition in first so that you can get used to the draw stroke left-handed because it's different. And make sure you keep your right hand out of the way of the muzzle when you're drawing. Get it in a safe place.
Yeah, just like you would practice with your strong hand, bring your left hand up in front of you, go through your proper draw stroke and all. But I'd be honest with you, Sean, some dry fire wouldn't be a bad idea at home. With that.
Yeah.
So, listener, what do you think? Do you get enough weekend shooting practice in? Now, Sean, you took me off my note there. I want to go to that point, don't shoot Oklahoma, but that's okay.
I'm sorry.
What do we have time-wise? About 30 seconds?
Yeah.
All right, when we come back from the break, we'll cover the Oklahoma bill allowing pointing of guns to deter violent crime. Oklahoma making news, of course, with Stand Your Ground, now here with Point, Don't Shoot. We'll talk a little bit about what that means. And, of course, the people who hate your guns hate the bill. And the people who love guns and who are right like the bill. And we'll discuss it. And I'll give you some firsthand experience with that and what it could mean. Weekend shooting. If you're not practicing, you should. I want to thank Sean for the reminder.
20.
There. We'll get to the Oklahoma bill allowing pointing of guns to deter violent crime right 15. After this. Here in the Armed American Radio Daily Defense Studios. You are listening to the Armed American Radio Network.
You're clear.
Imagine you're walking through a parking lot at dusk. You're with your children. As you approach your car, you see a large man closing in. Something seems wrong. Something is wrong. You calmly move in front of your kids and turn towards the attacker. Your mind flashes back to everything you've learned. The man is now 30 feet away. You don't make a move yet, but you can feel the weight of your 9mm on your hip. You hear yourself confidently issue the command, "Stay back!" And then it happens. The attacker understands what only criminals can comprehend. He has picked the wrong target. He quickly turns around. "What's wrong?" says your child as you get in the car. "Nothing. Nothing's wrong, honey. Everything is fine." Get a gun and master its use. The self-defense shield from the USCCA will help you understand gun safety and self-defense. The USCCA Self-Defense Shield gives you education, training, and a tenacious legal defense. It's your path to become a responsibly armed American. Discover how a gun and your family are the perfect fit. Visit freegunguide.com. That's freegunguide.com.
Hi, it's Mark, and I have a plea for help. Gun-hating billionaire Michael Bloomberg is up to his bag of tricks by funding studies designed to fool the American public into thinking your guns cause crime. As expected, the media plays right along. Unfortunately for him, John Lott and the Crime Prevention Research Center does the real research to measure the true impact of guns on crime. But we need your help to do it. Please donate today to help John and the CPRC get the truth out. Visit crimeresearch.org, crimeresearch.org to donate. Crimeresearch.org. Thank you.
Do you have 2 minutes for a great tip concerning defensive firearms or the concealed carry lifestyle? Check out Into the Fray, a weekly video blog hosted by Kevin Michalowski, editor of Concealed Carry Magazine. Into the Fray covers every aspect of self-defense, from legal and ethical issues to the latest gear and tactics. Accurate, direct, and easy to share with all your friends. You can find every episode of Into the Fray at IntoTheFrayVideo.com. That's IntoTheFrayVideo.com.
Hi everybody, Mark Walters here. Folks, whether you carry a gun already or are even considering it, and this is very serious business, one of the most important steps that you can take is to join the nation's number one resource for the armed citizen, the United States Concealed Carry Association, the USCCA. They sponsor the show. You know who they are. Folks, now is the time to learn how to protect yourself, your family, your property, and your business with a concealed weapon, because you never know when you may need to. The USCCA is designed specifically for those of us who have chosen to take our personal defense very seriously. I've put together special membership offers for the Armed American Radio listeners, you, at jointheuscca.com. That's jointheuscca.com. Now is the time to join the USCCA and take advantage of the incredible resources available only at the USCCA. That's jointheuscca.com. These are troubling times in America, folks. Become a member today.
Picture this scenario. Two masked men break into your house. They're armed with weapons and a look of drug-fueled rage. To protect your family, you're forced to take matters into your own hands. You do what you have to. You pull the trigger. Minutes later, the police arrive and suddenly you're handcuffed and pushed into the back seat of a cop car. Pause there for a second. If this were to happen to you, would you know what to expect? Would you know exactly what to say to the police and what not to say? Would you know who to call? Every responsibly armed American needs to know the answer to those questions, because believe me, you don't want any surprises when the police arrive. Go to BeTheirProtector.com right now and get your copy of the USCCA's brand new free guide that'll reveal the 6 things you didn't know would happen when the police arrive. After a self-defense incident, knowing what to expect when the police show up can truly be the difference between freedom or a jail cell. Get your personal copy of this free guide right now at BeTheirProtector.com. That's BeTheirProtector.com.
Back to Armed American Radio's Daily Defense with Mark Walters.
All right, back in the Armed American Radio Daily Defense studios with you today. This is an interesting, and Sean, do you have anything to ask me before I go into this?
No, I'm good. Yeah, that was good advice, because like I said, when I was in the hospital, I thought about that. And it's really good advice, because you never know when you're going to have a situation where you're going to have to use your weaker arm.
Well, which is exactly why you should practice with it. And here, that's a reminder to me as well. And I want to go back and quote Kevin Michalowski before I move on, editor of Concealed Carry Magazine and active duty law enforcement officer. It's not your weak hand, he tries to tell you. It's your other strong hand. And what he means by that figuratively is, make sure you practice with your weak hand and don't refer to it as your weak hand. It's your other strong hand. Learn how to fight with your other hand. So I'm going to have to take that advice and do a little bit more practicing. And I will report back to you on that. No question about it. All right, point, don't shoot. Oklahoma bill allows pointing of guns to deter violent crime. On the surface, John Adeen, Doctors for Responsible Gun Ownership, if you were just one of those boneheaded headline surfers who didn't research or never looked past a headline and were able to be skewed by those who would skew headlines because they know people like you are out there, what would you think when you heard that headline? Point, don't shoot. Oklahoma bill allows pointing of guns to deter violent crime.
Yeah, it seems to me like what they're trying to tell you is that you don't have to worry about deadly threats anymore. If you just point your gun, you know, maybe this law will let you do that. And frankly, I doubt that that's what they're trying to accomplish with that law.
Well, we're going to find out. Let's dig a little bit deeper into this. This is coming out of News Oklahoma, newsok.com. You can find it. It was published yesterday. You can find it at keepandbeararms.com if you're interested. Oklahoma law could soon let people point guns at other people to deter or prevent some felony-level crimes involving physical violence. Now, let me tell you what's happening under Oklahoma law right now. It can be a felony to brandish a firearm and point it at another human being. It is a felony to point a gun at another human being in Oklahoma right now and not shoot them. Now, hear what I said. Let me repeat that. In the state of Oklahoma, if you pull a firearm and point it at someone, even if it's in lawful self-defense and you do not shoot that person, it is a felony. Do you understand? Did you hear what I said? Senate Bill 40 passed the Oklahoma House on Tuesday this week. It needs to go back to the Senate, which has already approved the bill. It would then head to Governor Fallon for her signature. Current law allows the state to file felony charges. Maybe I should rephrase what I said. Current law allows the state to file felony charges against someone who brandishes a firearm at someone else, even in self-defense, said Representative Bobby Cleveland, quoting this from the News OK piece. When you go and get your license, concealed carry license, that instructor tells you that you don't bring your gun out. You don't show your gun. You don't intimidate somebody with your gun. If you bring it out, you have to shoot, according to Representative Cleveland. Now, the bill passed with a huge margin and no debate in the House. Some people voted against it. State Representative Emily Virgin, she's a Democrat. Does that shock you? Voted against it. And here's why I want to cover what she says. Because she's tired of bills that don't address what she believes are the real problem in Oklahoma. All right? Quoting her, "This bill and all of the other bills that are dealing with guns this session, it's becoming clear that some people are more concerned about gun rights and the gun owners' rights than they are about the people who are experiencing violence at the hands of those gun owners." Now, let me dissect that pea brain right now. She clearly is not capable of thinking critically about what she just herself said, because she's talking about the individual people, the law-abiding citizens of the state, who are not out shooting anybody. Let me repeat her quote. "The bill and all the other bills that are dealing with guns this session, it's becoming clear that some people are more concerned about gun rights and the gun owners' rights than they are about the people who are experiencing violence at the hands of those gun owners. John, that means you, as a law-abiding citizen, as an Oklahoma law-abiding citizen, are committing violence against those who are suffering at your hands." How would you respond to her in a non-satellite radio setting?
Okay. Well, first of all, those gun owners aren't the ones that are committing the crimes. It's the criminals who don't obey the laws to begin with are the ones that are getting the guns pointed at them. Law-abiding gun owners don't pull their guns out and point them at people for no good reason. And so if they're being threatened with, you know, fear of life, limb, bodily harm, all that kind of good stuff, then, you know, they should be allowed to take their gun out to maybe defuse a situation if they can't do, you know, other things to get out of the situation.
Pea brain Emily Virgin is incapable of understanding what you just said. Let me go. I have to back up here and go back many shows. In fact, I probably have to go back a couple of years. In fact, I probably have to go back 7 or 8 years. I want to make this correlation. To people like Pea Brain Emily Virgin, they believe all gun owners are eventual criminals because they are gun owners, because guns are bad and make people criminals. You follow me on this?
Yep.
You as a gun owner are a criminal in waiting to her. She cannot distinguish between you and a violent criminal who commits a crime and doesn't follow the law. She cannot distinguish between you, the permit holder, because we are talking about, in this piece, permit holders, and the individual who couldn't care less about a permit and commits the violent crimes that she's referring to in the first place. She's equating law-abiding you with crackhead, loser, violent criminal. We get that. We understand that.
Yep.
She is incapable of breaking this down.
Or doesn't want to.
Well, you know, there's ignorance there. Ignorance, when left unattended, breeds what?
Stupidity.
Of course. To remain ignorant in today's day and age, when you have in front of you on this little tiny device here, everything you need to know, to me, means you're stupid. You are willfully ignorant. You choose not, you literally choose not to find the truth. A statement like that certainly makes my point, I believe, that she is incapable of distinguishing you from the bad guy. In her mind, all gun owners are bad guys. She's, that's the correlation that she's making. So we have to go back to that to understand that. Now let's continue with her really intelligent quote, her pea brain intelligent Democrat Emily Virgin quote. It just seems like we're going in the wrong direction on this issue. We really don't need to be making it any easier for people to have guns and getting those in the hands of the wrong people. What does that even mean?
That means you and I are the wrong people. Because we're the law-abiding citizens who are obeying these laws that they're passing, because the criminals don't obey those laws.
I can't get into her mind. I can't pretend to be able to wrap my head around what makes a person like this tick. I would hope that somebody who was capable enough of being elected in her district to represent her state would be capable of understanding the conversation that we're having and think, oh, well, yeah, okay, I get what you're saying. She's not.
No.
She would sit here and argue with us because to her, all gun owners are criminals. And you are, if you haven't committed a crime yet, it's just a matter of time before you commit a crime. It is truly mind-boggling. Let's go back to what Representative Cleveland says. He says, right now, if you were bothering me and I shot you, I'd be fine. But right now, if I brought my gun out and told you to get away and leave me alone because you're intimidating me or I feel a threat, that could be a felony. If you can solve a problem without killing him, are we not better off without killing the guy?
Absolutely.
All right, when we come back, let me use a real-life experience of what happened to me back in 2002 to kind of get into this a little bit, because it is a fascinating question. And there's an answer for it. In fact, Sean, how much time do I have? Not enough. There we go. There you go. Okay, when we come back, I'm going to answer a question that I haven't even asked yet that will fix the problem regarding the discussion of Oklahoma and what it is that this pea brain, Miss Virgin Democrat in Oklahoma just simply can't wrap her head around. We'll be back after this.
When seconds count, the police are minutes away, which means if your family's in danger, you'll become the first line of defense. Can you say with 100% confidence that you'll know what to do? What about the gun laws in your state? Do you know them? One wrong move, and you'll be the one handcuffed in the back of a squad car. Which is why 170,000 responsibly armed Americans rely on Concealed Carry Magazine for the latest on ever-changing gun laws and life-saving training drills. You'll get unbiased gun and gear reviews and read true stories from real people who carry every day. There's even a quarterly women's section with training and information designed specifically for the female shooter. This is important, which is why when you activate your subscription, you'll be entered to win one of four guns. Just go to oneoffourguns.com. That's the number one of the number four guns.com right now to start your subscription and claim your chance to win the gun of your dreams.
Folks, you know that the USCCA protects responsible gun owners if we're ever forced to use our weapons in self-defense. Recently, a USCCA member witnessed his neighbor being assaulted in his front yard. He drew his weapon to stop the threat and was arrested, even though he never fired a shot. Would you know what to say to the police and what not to say if this happened to you? Visit BeTheirProtector.com for the USCCA's free guide, The 6 Things You Didn't Know Would Happen When the Police Arrive. That's BeTheirProtector.com.
Hi, it's Mark, and I have a plea for help. Gun-hating billionaire Michael Bloomberg is up to his bag of tricks by funding studies designed to fool the American public into thinking your guns cause crime. As expected, the media plays right along. Unfortunately for him, John Lott and the Crime Prevention Research Center does the real research to measure the true impact of guns on crime. But we need your help to do it. Please donate today to help John and the CPRC get the truth out. Visit crimeresearch.org, crimeresearch.org to donate. Crimeresearch.org. Thank you.
Do you have 2 minutes for a great tip concerning defensive firearms or the concealed carry lifestyle? Check out Into the Fray, a weekly video blog hosted by Kevin Michalowski, editor of Concealed Carry Magazine. Into the Fray covers every aspect of self-defense, from legal and ethical issues to the latest gear and tactics. Accurate, direct, and easy to share with all your friends. You can find every episode of Into the Fray at IntoTheFrayVideo.com. That's IntoTheFrayVideo.com.
Hi, it's Mark, and I hope you're enjoying this week's broadcast. You know, over the last several weeks, you've heard me mentioning a website, usccaonair.com. We have some amazing sponsors here on this program, and one of them, the United States Concealed Carry Association, helped create this program. Since that time, just like Armed American Radio, the USCCA has exploded in growth to become the nation's number one resource for the responsibly armed citizen. The USCCA has also become famous for their promotions, as if you needed more incentive to join the United States Concealed Carry Association. Free guns, thousands of dollars in merchandise, and free ammunition, etc. to lucky promotion winners. You, too, can win by simply visiting the website usccaonair.com. usccaonair.com. That site is reserved for you as an Armed American Radio listener to keep you updated on their latest promotions. Now, I'll tell you about the promos on every program, but you can still check for yourself by visiting usccaonair.com. Don't miss out.
The Second Amendment Foundation has grown into what many believe to be the most important gun rights organization in America. With hundreds of thousands of active members, it is the Second Amendment Foundation defending your rights in courtrooms across the nation. Winning these battles in local jurisdictions all the way to the Supreme Court requires tireless effort and help from you. Please help the Second Amendment Foundation defend your freedoms by joining or donating today at saf.org. Join us at saf.org. Thank you.
And now your host, Mark Walters.
All right, wrapping up, no doubt, the fastest hour in all of daytime radio. That much I can tell you. You have 7 hours, 11 minutes, and 40 seconds right now from the sound of my voice. If you are listening to me live, a couple hours left if you're catching me on any of the delayed broadcasts around the country of this very show on the station you happen to be tuned in on anywhere around this great nation. Today's Gun A Day giveaway, if you visit usccaonair.com, even if you screw it up, usccaonaar.com, because you got AAR on your mind. That, of course, being Armed American Radio. usccaonaar or usccaonair.com will take you to the Gun A Day giveaway. Today's gun is the Remington 1911 R1 Carry Commander. It is valued at $1,299. Let's just round that to $1,300. Great firearm. You can win it if you activate one of three levels of the greatest self-defense insurance on the market today. Now, I'm going to have some information on this insurance product coming up over the course of the next week that you are not going to want to miss. Believe me, this is the single best self-defense insurance you can buy. I will read through some things for you next week. Can't wait to do that for you. I know some of you have some questions, but the coverages are unmatched by anybody in the country. The self-defense shield from the USCCA, and there are three coverages: silver, gold, and platinum. I am a platinum member, up to $1.125 million in protection, $1.125 million in self-defense coverage and civil liability protection. All you have to do is visit usccaonair.com, activate any one of those levels of self-defense shield protection. You are eligible for the Gun A Day today. Now, remember, this goes through the month of April. We've only got a couple days left, and I'm telling you now, you want to be in the running for the grand prize, which is three chances to win the Ultimate Home Defense Arsenal, valued at about $10,300 and change. usccaonair.com. This stuff is unrivaled anywhere. More to come on that in the coming days. You're not going to want to miss the information that I have specifically for you as Armed American Radio listeners. Believe me. All right, welcome back to the show. Dr. John, welcome back.
It's good to be here.
It's always good to be here, my friend.
Absolutely.
All right, let's go back to this Oklahoma. Let's go back to pointing a firearm at someone. First of all, to me, this is a no-brainer. I pulled a firearm on two individuals in November of 2002. I didn't wake up that day and decide I wanted to be a victim on my way to my office. That's not what I thought when I got up. In fact, as I've always mentioned, prior to that day, if a criminal decided to pick on old Mark A, They had a 50-50 shot of running into an armed victim because I hadn't yet made up my mind to carry my firearm 100% of the time. So if I carried it half the time, that was a 50-50 shot. If they had accosted me the day before or attempted to the day before, I may or may not have been armed. In fact, I don't remember if I was armed the day before. I can tell you one thing, I was armed the day after.
Oh, absolutely.
And every single day since. I have never left my cave without my club. And if I have to, because I'm flying somewhere or I'm out of time, I have someone meeting me that gives me a firearm on the other end, as you well know.
Yep.
I just saw you in Fort Worth. I was working off of a borrowed Glock 19, by the way. Love the Glock 19. It's wonderful.
What I'm carrying.
Here's the deal with this brandishing and with the possibility of this law passing in Oklahoma. The difference between brandishing and firing the gun, as far as the draw of the gun itself, I believe every reputable instructor will tell you, as will every attorney tell you, your gun should never, ever, ever be unholstered unless you are able to lawfully shoot to protect, defend your life, and to stop the threat. I pointed my firearm, and I can tell you right now, I could have pulled that trigger. I didn't have to because my Glock 36 did its job without my having to squeeze that trigger. It stopped the threat instantly the moment the handgun became visible. In the state of Oklahoma, I could be charged with a felony for doing that. I could possibly have been charged with a felony for aggravated assault in Florida under the same circumstances for doing that. This is a good law. This is a law that needs to be signed. When you take into consideration, now P-Brain Virgin, the Democrat, is incapable of thinking about what we just said. The gun should never be unholstered unless you are lawfully, right?
Absolutely.
Able to shoot, period. If you're not, the gun should not have come out of its holster. If it does and you're not, you're committing a crime. And you should be charged. That's aggravated assault. That's why you have to think about these things when you hear on the legalese segments on this program, exactly when the gun, it's one of the most asked questions we get.
Sure.
We talked with Andrew Branca, Law of Self-Defense, about it last week and the week before, about this very question. People have done 20 and are doing now, he's had a client, I believe, if it wasn't him, I think it was Kevin Jameson, had a client now doing 20 years for aggravated assault. The good guy.
Yeah.
Because he drew his firearm in a situation that was not required of him to do so, he could have left. He could have left. There was no deadly threat. 20 years aggravated assault in the state of Georgia, and I believe it was John Monroe that was telling us that. Makes sense to you?
Yeah, absolutely. And if you do draw the firearm, really what determines whether you press the trigger or not is not what you're doing, but what the felon is doing, what the actor is doing. If they continue to press the attack, then you're going to have to press the trigger. If they break off their attack, then you should not press the trigger. You should hold off and then be the first person to get on 911 and say, hey, I was just attacked. I had to use my firearm. I did not need to fire. But please, this is what the guy looks like. This is what I look like. And could you send somebody here now, please?
Remember, the first person to call 911 wins, basically. The first person to call 911 is considered the victim. It's just the way it is. So you've got to make that case. But it's a good conversation. Provocative stuff. I enjoy talking about this stuff. I just saw this today from Oklahoma, and having been someone myself personally who drew a fire on two other human beings, I'm very comfortable about what I did, when I did. I've written extensively about it. I've talked about it extensively over the years. I've spoken to law enforcement personnel about it. I've talked to attorneys about it. I've asked attorneys about their opinions of it on this very program for your benefit. So, and John, and I know you've heard some of those discussions over the years as well. But all right, John, we're getting ready to knock this one out here in about a minute. You are heading down to downtown Atlanta today after today's program. I'm getting my texts are going crazy. My emails are going crazy. Rob Pincus is in town. Jim Irvine from Buckeye Firearms is in town. Alan Gottlieb just shot me a text. I'm having dinner with him and his family tonight. They are now in town. They did arrive on time. So everybody's converging on downtown Atlanta. Tim Schmidt, the management team, about 14 fine folks from the United States Concealed Carry Association. You can find them on the floor of the convention hall at the Georgia World Congress Center. Walk up and say, hey, tons of free T-shirts. You know, we're giving them away. I don't think we're giving them away on the floor. I think, yeah, but there's information about it. We'll tell you about it tomorrow. Speaking of tomorrow, I will not be in this daily studio tomorrow. But Andy Hoosier, the Voice of Reason host up at our great Wichita affiliate, up at the Big Talker in Kansas, will be filling in for me because I have a couple of speaking engagements that will take my time tomorrow during the day. John, looking forward to seeing you on the floor at the Second Amendment Foundation booth. People can come see you there. Where else will you be?
Well, I'm going to probably be listening to Donald Trump's speech at some point in time, but I'll be at the Second Amendment Foundation booth probably lunchtime on Friday and Saturday. And so I'd like to, you know, if you're a person who's interested in Doctors for Responsible Gun Ownership, come visit me and we'll talk about it.
You've got all the answers for people. If you have questions about, you know, Docs versus Glocks, you've written extensively about that. John Adine, thank you very much, brother, for being here.
It's
welcome.
My pleasure.
Welcome to Atlanta. It's going to be good. It's going to be a good, exciting weekend. Shanto, I wish you could be here for it. A lot of people will walk up to me at the booths that I'm at and will say, hey, it's great to meet you. Love meeting you. Is Shanto here? People will ask me that. I'll have to say no. He was illin', and he couldn't come. I had to leave him at the ranch down by the creek in the holler. Shanto, thanks for everything you do, brother.
You're welcome.
I appreciate it. Great question earlier today. Was glad we were able to get off topic and at least cover that. Remember, carry on, carry often, carry absolutely everywhere. Never leave your cave without your club. Never find yourself in a gun-free zone. I'm Mark Walters. I'll see you on the radio. You've been listening to the Armed American Radio Network.
The Second Amendment Foundation has grown into what many believe to be the most important gun rights organization in America. With hundreds of thousands of active members, it is the Second Amendment Foundation defending your rights in courtrooms across the nation. Winning these battles in local jurisdictions all the way to the Supreme Court requires tireless effort and help from you. Please help the Second Amendment Foundation defend your freedoms by joining or donating today at saf.org. Join us at saf.org. Thank you.
Hey, what's up? It's AAR Shanto here. Every day you hear the passion that we have for freedoms here in America. I also have other passions, and every week you can check out what that passion is. I've started a new web series. Yes, believe it or not, with all the other things that I have going on, I went and did it. I started a web series, and I think you're going to like it. If you want to see one of my hobbies, all you got to do is check out irfnews.com. That's irfnews.com.
When seconds count, the police are minutes away, which means if your family's in danger, you'll become the first line of defense. Can you say with 100% confidence that you'll know what to do? What about the gun laws in your state? Do you know them? One wrong move, and you'll be the one handcuffed in the back of a squad car. Which is why 170,000 responsibly armed Americans rely on Concealed Carry Magazine for the latest on ever-changing gun laws and life-saving training drills. You'll get unbiased gun and gear reviews and read true stories from real people who carry every day. There's even a quarterly women's section with training and information designed specifically for the female shooter. This is important, which is why when you activate your subscription, you'll be entered to win one of four guns. Just go to oneoffourguns.com. That's the number one of the number four guns.com right now to start your subscription and claim your chance to win the gun of your choice.